morning. Before we begin, we have a few announcements to make. First off, whether you're a member or a visitor, we would like you to sign the cards that are in the back of the pews to let us know who's here, who our visitors are. Also, the minister's office hours are listed in the chimes from 9:30 to 4:30, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We have women's Bible study Monday at 7 o'clock, and Wednesday this week is Christian Kids Club. There will be a work day on Tuesday from 9 to 12. Also, notice in big bold type, the annual reports are due on or before January 15th, which is coming up very quickly, you know, toward the end of the week. So if you're under the gun there, I know kind of how you feel. I have reports too. All my kids' research papers are due on the 15th. But they have been praying to the great snow god and had 3 days canceled. So they're happy about all this cold. Also, please notice that there's an installation of officers next Sunday. And later on in the service, we will be having a baby dedication, which we just love. And afterwards, we will be having coffee hour. Then we hope that all of you will join us in the dining room. Are there any other announcements? Jane? Yeah, it does look a little shaky. Yeah. Linda? Oh, yeah, sorry. Oh, you have.
Good morning. I have two announcements to share with you this morning. The offering envelopes are on the table over here in the Easter room. So if you've not yet picked up your offering envelopes, please stop by the table. They should be right over there waiting for you. Also, we're going to be taking down the Christmas decorations this week, and with that are going to go the poinsettias. So if you have not taken your poinsettia home yet, please do so. And they are beautiful. Thank you for loaning them to us for this long. Please take them home, and good luck with keeping them through the winter.
Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship him. The community comes together to serve God and worship. Our opening hymn is in the Brown Hymnal, number 98, Great is Thy Faithfulness. call to worship is in your chimes. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name.
We will ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name.
We will worship the Lord in holy
splendor. Let us pray. Open our eyes that we may see your light. Open our minds that we may receive your truth. Open our hearts that we may accept your spirit. Open our mouths that we may express your praise as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Our offertory hymn is in the brown hymnal, number 87, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
As we pray you, and as we praise you with our hearts and voices in the worship service, so we also praise you with our material gifts. More than that, we praise you by joyfully caring for the world and all you have given us. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our scripture reading this morning is in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. That's the Old Testament, page 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from the gods swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God said, saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Our anthem this morning by our sanctuary choir is "Beautiful Savior."
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville this chilly January Sunday. We thank the choir for singing that beautiful song. That song is as beautiful as our Savior, indeed. I look forward to hearing it every year. Thank you again for sharing that with us. As we gather this morning to lift up our prayers, our joys, and the concerns before our Lord, we want to continue to pray for those who are in need. We want to continue to pray for those who are ill. I know certainly the hospitals are very full with people battling the flu and other type of illnesses, so let's continue to pray for them. Let us also continue to pray for Paula and Mike Pindro. They themselves have not been befallen by any illness that I know, but many, many of their friends have been. And I think I mentioned last week that Mary Ellen passed away and her friend Tom had a stroke. And she is concerned that her friend Ed Andrea also does not have long to live. So she has been taking care of Ed at night, and she's very worn down, as you can imagine. So let's continue to pray for Mike and Paula, especially Paula this morning. I also received a message last night from Melissa about her friend Justin Sullivan. Justin had a fire. He was the victim of a fire in his home yesterday, and he is in need of clothes. And so if anybody has clothes that they are need, would like to donate for him to use his sizes 36, 32. I'm assuming those are pant sizes, and any shirts would be helpful. Please just drop them off at the church or call me, let me know, and I'll get them to Melissa, and she will get them to Justin. And let us pray for him as he gets back on his feet. What other concerns do we have this morning? What other joys do we have to share this morning as we, before we go to God in prayer? Don, right here. Pray for the Prince of Peace, for peace, and also the correct response. Thank you for lifting that to before us and before God. What other joys and concerns do we have? Yes, Tina. Pray for you. Thank you, Tina, for sharing that with us today. Are there any others? Thelma. What is his name? We'll pray for Andy. He recovers from that fall and that concussion and those stitches. Thank you. We also want to give thanks to God as Heidi and Adam have brought forth Ella, or will bring forth Ella today for our dedication, and ask prayers for them, the whole family, and all those gathered to celebrate this joyous occasion. Seeing no other prayer request, let us take... Yes, Jane. Indeed it is. We rejoice with you. Thank you for sharing that gift with us today. And now, seeing none, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Most holy God, may our lives be to you like polished arrows in the quiver of your searching love. May our intentions be pure, and may our words be true. As we proclaim your saving ways, call us once again, O God, as you called Isaiah and Paul before us. Call us to deliver news of your goodness and mercy into a world of brokenness and pain, that your salvation might reach the ends of the earth and your mercy might extend to the farthest shores. We pray this mercy upon all the world, but also in particular for us and those gathered here today and those on our prayer list, our hearts and our minds. Our hearts go out to those in France and all those who have been victims of senseless violence. Teach your children to love one another and to respond to hate with love, as your Son Jesus Christ did, that we may conquer and defeat hate wherever it shows itself. Give us the strength to love even when it's dangerous. We lift up into your care Andy He was fallen and has been hurt very severely. We pray for his recovery and his concussion and his stitches. We pray that it is swift and complete. We pray for Justin as he suffers from this tragedy and the loss of his possessions. We give you thanks that no lives were hurt or lost. Help him to pick up the pieces, to recover. Help us to find ways in which we may help him. May we all come together to help those in need, especially when it is so cold. May the warmth of our hearts be shared with those who are cold. Lord, also be with Tina, with her family. Help to continue to ease her mind, to allay her worry. Give her the rest she needs. May she find it in you, to know that her lawyers will take care of the situation and that her custody will remain. We pray for this now. We pray for this each day. Continue, Lord, to help us to know that you are near us, that you are with us, that you are always in front, behind, and beside us, surrounding us with your love and your grace and your mercy. May we be lifted up by this news when we are down. May we be strong when we are weak, because we know that you are with us, that sometimes you carry us. May we find our strength in you. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world that we may know you better, know you closer, know you more fully, but who has gone ahead to prepare a place for us that we may be with him and with you forever. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Grant us your peace. Amen. The children come forward for the junior sermon.
Awesome. are too old to read the Bible? Are you too young or too old to get a flu shot? In fact, young people and old people especially get a flu shot. Are you too young or too old to ask Jesus to help you?
No.
That's what we want to do all the time, every day, in all situations. Okay? And that will help us from our heart being sick. Thank you very much for doing your class.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4, chapter 1, verses 4 to 11, and that is found on the New Testament portion of your pew Bible on page 34. Page 34. Here begins the reading. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came to Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's nothing like getting clean. Anyone who has ever gotten dirty knows the truth of that sentence. And you also know that the dirtier you get, the better getting clean feels. When I was growing up and I worked on a dairy farm, I knew that truth better than just about anybody. My dad used to work in a steel mill. He knew that truth. My uncle worked in a coal mine. They knew that truth. When I was working, I might spend the whole time dreaming about the shower I was going to take and how long it was going to last and how warm it was going to be and how clean I was going to smell when it was all said and done. Sometimes that is what got me through the day. It made me feel like a brand new person. Now, even if you've never gotten really, really filthy in your life, if you ever watch a show where people have to go and live in the rough, like, say, the TV show Survivor or something like that, or Amazing Race, you know what I mean. The contestants on that show, they spend weeks in a jungle or on a beach, and they compete in challenges that have rewards. And inevitably, in the middle of every season, one of the most sought-after rewards is the opportunity to take a bath, something that we just take for granted. But just imagine if we couldn't do it more than once a week, once a month. Imagine if we couldn't do it more than once a year. This is something we take for granted, but it's not natural. It's not natural for animals, and on some level that's what human beings are, for us to be clean. After all, the world is a dirty place. Most of the world is outside and has dirt floors. The idea of showering frequently is a relatively new idea in the world, fueled by a relatively new industry. So many of the advertisements we see on TV are for things that clean you. Soap and deodorant, shampoo, conditioner, things that make you clean and fresh smelling, and they're usually labeled with these great phrases like fresh breeze. You will smell like a fresh breeze if you use this. They're almost always blue. Apparently blue equals clean or fresh, even though the wind has no smell or color. You thought soap and shampoo were enough, but now there are so many more products. There are facial scrubs and exfoliators, body wash and conditioners, body spray, and much, much more. It is a never-ending battle, because, of course, as soon as you get clean, as soon as you step out of that shower, you start getting dirty all over again. There's no way to keep your body perfectly clean in this world unless you were to stay in a shower 24/7. That's why before we became so civilized, so clean, so concerned with smelling like a fresh breeze, people didn't bathe all that much. it used a lot of water. Water was not readily available. And again, what was the point? You were just going to get dirty again. Now, not everybody can shower as much as we do now. In fact, in medieval days, kings and peasants would bathe regularly, but whereas kings would bathe daily or weekly, peasants would bathe yearly. Just one bath a year was all they were afforded, and that would come on New Year's Day. It made the day special, if you can just imagine, if you had to endure a year of not taking a shower, and then on New Year's Day you get that one shower, and maybe you were lucky enough to get into the tub first. It made that day special as they literally washed away the old and they brought in the new, and they began the new year with a clean slate, or at least a clean face. It was, to say the least, a clean start. And that's what it is when we take a bath, when we take a shower, and we get clean. It is a clean start, and we know that we will need to do it again, but yet it is worth doing. A clean start is what Mark uses to begin his gospel. A clean start is really how the New Testament begins, in the sense that Mark is the first gospel written. Like the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Mark begins with a prologue introducing the point of the gospel. And like the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Mark's prologue focuses on the actions and the purposes of John the Baptist. Before we get to Jesus, John the Baptist first. John was born first, but didn't really do anything that we know of. Jesus was born, and then we come to the point many years later where John is now fulfilling his destiny, preparing the way for the Lord. Mark's gospel takes place at a time when people did not bathe regularly, but even in that time, John was a very strange and wild person, living far from society, near the Jordan River, clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, eating locust and wild honey. And yet he was the one who was bathing and cleansing people. This man who looked dirty for all the world to see was the one who was cleaning people inside and out. In fact, he was baptizing them, as his name suggests. That is what he should do. It involved bathing people in water, immersing them fully into the river. But whether or not their faces came clean wasn't as important as whether or not their souls came clean when they confessed and repented of their sins. Jewish faith held ritual cleansings as the centerpiece of their actions. That was a very common thing, and so if you did something that made you unclean, you were out of the community. You had to get a ritual cleansing to get back in, but that wasn't quite the same thing as what John is doing here. John is dealing specifically with sin, which is a different matter altogether. Baptism involved adherence to aspects of the law, but not entirely all of it. The cleansing John offered addressed a personal sin, but John cleansed the people of another thing as well. People came to him with so many expectations, so many thoughts and demands. They not only expected him to be the Messiah, because he was kind of acting that way, they expected the Messiah to be a certain way. They expected him to be one who would restore the glory of Israel, perhaps through kingship or even the military might, to be like King David himself, to punish the wicked and to defeat the Romans. Now, they expected John to call some people a brood of vipers, as he does, but they did not expect him to call them that. The Pharisees are the ones who come, and he says, "You brood of vipers, who told you to repent from the wrath that is to come?" In their mind, the Romans were the vipers, the Gentiles were the vipers, the tax collectors and soldiers, they were the vipers. They were the ones coming to him. And he baptized them. They expected even less for John to say that he was not the Messiah. After all, anyone who was able to obtain a following immediately, rumors began to speculate that perhaps he could be. Maybe he was the one who was the Messiah. But John said, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So in both the Gospel of John and Mark, John the Baptist represented the old expectations. He was the Old Testament prophet, maybe the last of the Old Testament prophets. John cleanses the people of their sins and of these expectations, telling them that one is coming after him, of which he is not worthy to untie his thong, the thong of his sandal. When Jesus arrives, he comes also to bathe in the waters of Jordan. Again, a crazy thing. Why would Jesus, who is the Messiah, come to be baptized? Even John is thrown by this. He did so not to clean his body of dirt or even to clean his soul's sins, but he did allow John to baptize him to make a clean start. This is how Jesus' ministry begins. This is how he declares to himself that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. For in the waters of baptism a covenant is sealed. The old is washed away and a new begins. The Old Testament ends and the New Testament starts. The old law is washed away and the Spirit of God descends for the first time. We have the Spirit coming down into the world. Like a fresh breeze. It might even have been blue. Who knows? And an era of grace commences. With this act, we have a clean break. Not to say that the Old Testament wasn't correct or right or had no value, but to say that there is a new paradigm. There is a new world order. There is a new way of teaching and bringing people to God. Not the law, but through love. Not the penitential system, but the system of grace. Now, although we do not bathe only once a year at the start of a new year, we should still use this time, this opportunity, this new year, to make a clean start. Every January, I spend time cleaning out my desk and cleaning out the files on my computer, and it takes me about an entire month to get things going and ready to go, but I also then start making a list of things that I want to do for the year, goals and such things. And another thing is, I've got all these things that I couldn't do in December because I was too busy with Christmas. I said, I'll do that in January. Now I got to get started on that. It's a little daunting, but it is good to have a clean start. It's nice to go through and get organized and throw out the clutter and junk that I no longer need, if I ever needed it, and also sometimes find a few forgotten treasures. It's good always to begin the year with a cleansing. Clean out your desk, clean out your pantry, clean out your closet. Take a bath or a shower if you haven't had one in a year, please do that. But don't forget also to clean your soul. It's good to go through your soul and throw out the useless junk that clutters everything, the old grudges and disappointments, the hurts and the failings, the things, the petty disagreements that you just can't let go. Throw them out. Just throw them out and start clean. Discover those nice things also that you forgot about, those nice things that have been there that you need to enjoy again. You've heard the expression, come clean. It means to tell the truth, to be honest, confess. It's a useful expression because we should come clean to God. What other choice do we have? If we want God to clean the stain of our souls, if we want God to wash away the sins that mark our life, we must first admit that they are there and then ask for them to be forgiven. And we know He will forgive us, and as soon as He does, we will go back into the world and our soul will start getting dirty again. And that's why we don't just have the communion table once a year. We have it every week because we need it. We need that cleansing, that soul-cleansing grace again and again and again. We must come clean to get clean. We must come clean about our faults and our weaknesses, our shortcomings, the things that we should have done that we didn't do, the things that we did that we shouldn't have done. Come clean about the areas where we need Christ's help, just to simply admit that we're not perfect. And it's okay, but Christ is. He can help us. Come clean about the things that we wish to be forgiven for and what we need to forgive others for. Once we have come clean to ourselves, then we can be washed, truly washed by the amazing grace that we have found in Jesus Christ, that is a better cleanser than any that marketer could ever find or develop. Many of you here have already been washed in the waters of baptism. Some of you have not and may wish to be or will be in the future, but you are all washed in the grace of God at all times, and that is a more powerful cleaning product than any other you will find on the market. God's grace has the power to erase any stain and remove any spot. God's grace is the only thing that can clean our soul. I don't know if it's blue. I don't know if it smells like a fresh breeze. But it feels wonderful. It will certainly leave us fresher than anything we could ever have on our own. Nothing feels so good as taking a filthy, dirty body and scrubbing it clean and fresh. Nothing that is except washing a soul until it is spotless. Let us make a fresh start this year by coming clean. Come clean to God and let God clean you. Amen. And now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 564. Let us break bread together. I said before, the dirtier our bodies get, the more enjoyable it is when we scrub them clean or are able to scrub them clean. And what is true of our body is often true of our soul. The dirtier, more stained our soul gets, the better it is when we are able to get it clean. And so knowing this, Jesus told his disciples a parable about a man who was a creditor and two people owed him money. One owed him 500 denarii and the other one owed him 50. And when he found out that neither one of those men could pay the debt, he canceled both debts, forgave them their debts. And the question Jesus asked his disciples was a simple one. Sometimes they're not simple. This one was, which one do you suppose, having their debts canceled, would be more appreciative? And his disciple Simon said, I suppose the one owing more. And he said, you are correct to think so, Simon. And the reason he said that is because what had happened is that he was gathering with his disciples at a person's home. A woman, as described in the Bible, is a very sinful woman. She came and knew he was there, and she cried and wept and washed his feet and took a jar of ointment and rubbed it on his feet. The disciples were upset and they were outraged. One, that so sinful a person could dare touch Christ. And two, that she would use this ointment, which could be valuable, and they, in their opinion, waste it. But he simply pointed to her that she has been forgiven her sins and her response is appropriate. And that's important for us to remember, because as Christians, we are not perfect, but we are forgiven. And sometimes it's harder for us to realize that we are forgiven more than it is to realize that we are not perfect. And sometimes that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks we have, to forgive ourselves, even though we know, at least intellectually, that God has forgiven us. So we come to this table to remember that Christ forgave his disciples, though they abandoned him and one betrayed him. That Christ betrayed those that put him upon the cross, saying they know not what they do. If Christ could forgive those people, certainly Christ can forgive each of us. And we come to this table recognizing that each week we need to ask forgiveness and receive this grace. Sometimes the response to that is guilt, because we don't feel like we are worthy, but guess what? We aren't. And that's the entire purpose and point of grace. We are not worthy. Thanks be to God that he loves us anyway and forgives us and helps us to begin again. So the appropriate response to being forgiven isn't one of guilt, but one of love, gratitude, joy, and also one of sharing. Because I guarantee you that if you all found some product that could take that stain out of your carpet that's been there since your children were 2 years old, or something that could take that stain out of your upholstery of your car, you would tell your friends about it. Here at this table, you have found the greatest cleaning product of all, the grace of Jesus Christ. Let us use it liberally and thoroughly. And let us tell everyone we know about it and share it as needed. And now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Lord, we look forward to these weekly moments of communion and personal prayer. As we begin this morning, we humbly ask for your continued blessings on each of us. And may your loving spirit dwell within us as we take the bread and the cup. And may we then in turn carry your love within us this week, guiding us to be the Christians you intend us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me. That on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. After he blessed it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, this is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup. And after having blessed it, he poured it out and said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And now we come to the service of baby dedication. It is my joy to welcome Heidi and Adam as they have come today to bring their daughter Ella Grace to be dedicated, and I'd like to invite them to come forward with Ella and also with Sadie. Please come forward. What a joy it is to dedicate a child to God and to dedicate a child before this congregation. What a joy it is when the family comes forward and also when the big sister is involved. I know it seems like only yesterday that Sadie was in the same spot. Jesus Christ said, "Let the children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as they." Anyone who refuses to come to God as a little child will never be allowed into the kingdom of God. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. This congregation rejoices with you in the gift of this child, entrusted to your loving care. We are glad that you, moved by the blessings and responsibilities of parenthood, have brought your child to the house of God to show your gratitude and to acknowledge your need for God's help in fulfilling your parental responsibilities properly. In doing this, you are observing a custom which had its beginnings in the hearts of devout and grateful parents many centuries ago. In the scriptures, we read that Hannah brought the child Samuel to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and that Mary and Joseph presented the infant Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem. No ceremony has power to change the character of a person or alter one's relationship to God. Nevertheless, the measure of consecration which you give, the manner in which you guide and instruct, and the faithfulness with which you exemplify the life and spirit of Jesus Christ will determine in large measure your child's character and eternal destiny. And so I ask the two of you, do you now present your child before God in dedication? Do you covenant to rear this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise before this congregation to instruct your child in the teachings of Jesus Christ and the practice of prayer and to provide guidance in the development of a Christ-like character? Do you promise to shape the home life of your child so that both by family worship experience and by your own example, at the proper age, this child may naturally come to an open confession and faith in Christ and to the fellowship and service of the church? I ask also to the congregation, the responsibility for the Christian training of this child cannot be fully discharged within the family alone. For good or ill, the neighborhood, the nation, the whole world will exercise influence. Since we as Christians are members, one of another, the responsibility must be shared by all. As an evidence of your willingness to participate as fully as you can in the creation of a Christian environment for this child, and indeed all children, will you, members of this church and community, now stand and join me in the prayer of dedication. Mighty God, for all your gracious gifts to us, O God, we give grateful thanks, especially for this young child whom we desire to dedicate this day to you. Bless what we do here to the end that this child may increase in wisdom and stature, and in favor with you and with all humankind. Grant that the vows made here in this service be faithfully performed. Give all of us some measure of Christ's love and appreciation of children. Help us to do our part in building a world wherein all children may grow up in health and happiness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Whoever humbles oneself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And so we welcome you. We congratulate Heidi and Adam.